All right. Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. If this is your first time with us, if you don't know me or if you're listening online, my name's Chris High. I'm the teaching pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we're really excited about this morning because we get to have another baptism here, and then we're also excited about this morning because we walked in and we discovered one of the joys of shared space, and that is that you get to share decorations. And so we're not exactly sure who blessed us with these decorations, but they get to be here with us today as we celebrate and look forward to this time of year and to Christmas and what that means in our lives. And so if today's your first time with us, if you haven't been with us for the past couple of weeks, right now we're in the middle of a conversation called Lifted. And we've been talking about this idea of encouragement and how do we begin to encourage those around us the way that God talks about encouragement. And the passage that we've been focused on for the last few weeks is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says this, it says, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." And sometimes at this time of year, we're moving so fast, we're moving in so many different directions that our words can become anything but encouraging. And so as we've walked through this month, we've been looking at, okay, how do I begin to operate in such a way that everything that I say, the way that I live my life, the way that I interact with the people around me, everything about me is an encouragement to those around me. We started a couple weeks ago, and we began with kind of a foundation for this idea of encouragement, maybe redefining it a little bit, that encouragement is not just making the people around me feel better, but that encouragement, by definition, is actually building hope and confidence. And we started with this idea that our hope and our confidence is not found in ourselves, but is found in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And then last week, we looked at how we can then begin to speak that into one another's lives, maybe in difficult conversations, but then also in day-to-day conversations, listening to, okay, what does God want to say to this person? How do I speak not just my opinion, but what God wants to say to this person in this situation based on his word and how he's leading and guiding me? And then this week, as we come to kind of the conclusion of this series, I want to wrap this up by simply encouraging you. I want this morning to simply be an encouragement to you. I want to demonstrate what we've been talking about. And so this morning, I believe that one of my primary roles in your life, not just on an individual basis, but on the basis of the fact that I'm a pastor here, I believe one of my primary roles is to encourage you, to literally lift you up, to build into you over and over and over again, to point you back to the truth of what Jesus Christ has done for you and what that means for you, and to build your hope and your confidence based upon what God says. And so this morning, that's exactly what I want to do. I just want to encourage you. So just kind of sit back and relax. You don't have to learn a lot today. I just want to encourage you to build into you. If you have your notes with you, you can pull those out and just jot these things down, because not only will you be encouraged today, but I hope that you'll be able to use these in the conversations that you're having with the people around you to encourage them as well. If you're on YouVersion Live, it's going to be all laid out for you there and the passages as well. The first thing that I want to encourage you with, something that is true about you because of what Jesus Christ has done for you, is the fact that you are a slave. Now, some of you are like, wait, you're going the wrong direction. We're back at week one, right, where you're just really bad at encouragement, Chris. Like, that doesn't sound encouraging to me at all. And I understand that. Hang with me for a little bit, because when you first hear it, it doesn't sound encouraging. As a matter of fact, I think that when you read the passage that we're about to read, it often comes across as discouraging as opposed to encouraging. And so I want to help you understand it so that you understand how God is trying to encourage you in this passage. The passage is found in Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. It says this, it says, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, You became obedient from the heart, and from the heart, that line is really, really important to us as we're looking at this passage. To the form of teaching to which you were committed and have been freed from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. And for some of you, maybe you've been reading through the Bible with us throughout this past year, or maybe you've read through this book of Romans in the past. And I think sometimes when we come to this passage and we read through this passage, we read this idea that we're slaves, and for one, we struggle to understand what he's talking about, and then two, it sounds discouraging. But I think when you begin to realize what he's talking about here, I think it becomes incredibly encouraging. Because for us, this idea of slavery has to do with choices, partly because we've never actually experienced it ourselves. But then when we come to this idea that, okay, listen, you're now a slave to righteousness, I think often we read this passage and we think, okay, that means that I have a responsibility to righteousness. In other words, I'm bound by this idea that I need to make good decisions. And so when you hear God say to you, listen, you are a slave to righteousness, you think, okay, that means that I carry this weight with me, that I have to make the right decisions, and now I have a duty and a responsibility to make right decisions. But when you break down what he's talking about here, and when you look at what he's talking about before it, and this idea of grace, and when you look at what he talks about after it, as far as how we respond to what God's done to us, with this key phrase being from the heart, you realize that this is not just about choice. This is about something deeper. This is not just about what you choose to obey. This is about something that happens from the heart. You see, Paul's not just talking about choices. He's talking about our very nature. He's talking about the core of who we are. And so he says to us, he says, listen, you were once slaves to sin. And we talked about this a little bit in the first week of our series, this idea that we are completely broken. What Isaiah says about us, that there is nothing good in us. There's nothing about us that's headed the right direction. That the very core of who we are is broken, is selfish. And for some of you, you may be here for the first time, you're like, slaves to sin, what's he talking about? I'm talking about the fact that what the Bible says for human beings, that we are born with a heart that is driven towards selfishness. That we are born with a heart that is driven towards self-seeking, towards anything but love. And we may love, but here's the thing, and this is where it comes to this idea of slaves, right? We may love, we may do good things, we may do everything that we can to be kind and gentle, but what the Bible says is that no matter how much you try to do that, you are a slave to sin. In other words, your heart is going to continue to pull you back towards selfishness. To continue to pull you back towards hurt. Continue to pull you back towards destruction. Who you are is broken. We talked about this, right? And then Jesus Christ comes in and says, listen, no, I can make you new. You can be born again. You can become a new creation because of what I did on that cross. And what Paul is trying to help us understand here is that when you accept that from the heart, there's something that happens. And so when you become a new person, when you become a new creation, you move from being a slave to sin to becoming a slave to righteousness. In other words, no matter how much you try to get away from love, it's going to continue to pull you back. Why? Because that's who you are. And I think we've all experienced this battle, right? Where you find yourself in a situation, you know the right thing to do, but you're drawn towards the wrong thing. There's something pulling you this direction. And what Paul is trying to help you understand is that in that situation, before you are born again, before you come to know Christ, before you're made new, your very heart is pulling you towards that which is destructive. Your very heart is pulling you towards that which is selfish. It's the core of who you are. But when you've been born again, you become a slave to righteousness. And so your heart is that which is pulling you towards what is good. Your heart is that which is pulling you towards what is most loving. And you still have your flesh, and so the battle still wages, and there's still a part of you that wants to go this direction, that wants to walk away from God, that wants to do the selfish thing. But there's a huge change that's taken place in you. You see, for a lot of my life, I thought that being a Christian was overcoming who I was. For a lot of my life, I thought that that my heart was what was pulling me in the wrong direction. But when I realized what he's talking about in this passage, I realized, no. That's not true anymore. You see, being a Christian is about becoming who you are. It's about realizing who you've been made to be. And who you are is a slave to righteousness. I've experienced this a lot in my life where I think all of us come to these points, and for a lot of different reasons we come to this point where we're like, you know what, I'm walking away. I don't want anything to do with this anymore. I'm giving up. You know what? I'm looking at the lives of the people around me and it seems like they're having more fun than me. I'm just going to go with it. And then I go with it and it's just terrible. And I'm like, why can't I enjoy it the way that they enjoy it? You know why? Because I'm a slave to righteousness. And I bet a lot of you have experienced that. And you're like, you know what, I'm just going to walk away. But there's something inside of you that can't. And you look around and you're like, man, people seem to be able to enjoy this a lot more than I do. Why? Because you are actually a slave to righteousness. It's who you are. And no matter what you do, you can't get away from it. It's one of the ways that we know that we're his. It's one of those things that lets us know, no, I'm secure in Christ. Why? Because I've been made new. It is one of the most encouraging things in my life. It's like a safety net behind me. To know, no. My very heart is going to pull me back to what is right and loving. And for a lot of you, you've been living your life thinking that you have to overcome who you are. That's not true. You have to overcome your flesh. You get to be who you are. Because from the heart, you've been made new. You are a slave to righteousness. And whether you accept it or reject it, it's true about you. And it's not a matter of fighting. It's a matter of accepting who you now are. I find that this has huge implications on the conversations that I have with the people around me. And one of my professors demonstrated this to me as I was working through school. And he kind of became a mentor to me, and I would go to him over and over and over again and share with him the things that I was struggling with and share with him the battles that I was having. And he taught me a phrase that I've used with a lot of you and I think can't be used enough. And he used it in my life over and over and over again. And I would come to him and I'd be battling and I'd be like, man, you know what? I just feel like I want to go this direction. I feel like I want to make this decision. I know it's not right. And he'd look at me and he'd say to me, Chris, I want you to understand something. That's not who you are. And over and over again, he'd reach into my life and he would identify that new heart. He'd identify that heart that was now a slave to righteousness, and he would just build into it and lift it up over and over and over again. And I'm telling you, one of the most meaningful things that you can do in the life of the person around you who's struggling is to step into their life, and if they're a follower of Jesus Christ, if they trusted Jesus Christ, that he gave his life for them, you can step into their life and say, listen, I see you going this direction, but that's not who you are. I see you making this decision, but that's not who you are. I see you losing your temper, but that's not who you are. And you call them back, and you build hope, and you build confidence. And for some of you right now, you're in the middle of a struggle. And you're beating yourself up because you're like, what's wrong with me? You're in a battle with the flesh. And I want to tell you something. That's not who you are. Your heart desires God. It desires love. It desires what is right. You are a slave to righteousness. It's your greatest hope because you've been made new because of what Jesus Christ has done. The first thing I want to encourage you with is that you are a slave to something beautiful. The second thing I want to encourage you with is that you are an heir. There's a lot of talk today inside of Christianity about God's kingdom. And this is crucial because I think it's an underlying truth that all of us have to be able to understand and live our lives in the midst of, that we are under God's reign, that he reigns over everything, that every single one of us are responsible to him, that he is our king, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. Again, you can choose to accept it or deny it. It doesn't really matter. You are responsible to him. Psalm 103:19 says this. It says, the Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. You see, the truth is, no matter where you are on your journey, no matter where you've been, no matter where you're going, there will be a day when every single one of us answers to our King. And we will give an answer to how we used the time that we had. We will give an answer to what we did with Jesus Christ. We will stand before that King. We all live in his kingdom, under his reign. The question is, what will your role be? In that reign. And because of Jesus Christ, the Bible says some absolutely phenomenal things about those who've trusted Jesus Christ and their role inside this kingdom. Listen to what it says in Romans 8:23. It says, and we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. One of the things that is true of you because of the fact that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, or is true of you when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, is that you are adopted as God's children. This is crucial in understanding what we're about to talk about as far as the role inside the kingdom, right? We talked about adoption about a month ago. We talked about this in length and just the beauty of the fact that we get to be adopted into this family. One of the lies that is told about this idea of God's family is that we are all God's children. That is not true. Right? I want to make sure that you get a hold of that, because this is something that's thrown out there all the time. Hey, we're all God's children. Hey, we're all God's children. No, we're not. And becoming a child of God is not a right that's given to you because of the fact that you were created. We are all created by God. We are all beautifully created by God. We are all created in God's image, but we are not all God's children. That is not simply a right that we have. This is something that is brought into our lives because of Jesus Christ. The only reason that you get to be adopted as a son or a daughter of God is because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. It's really important that you understand that. And when you understand that we are his children, then it opens up a whole new understanding of what it means to be a part of this kingdom. Listen to what it says a few verses earlier, Romans 8, 15 through 17. It says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are his children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory." 2 Timothy 2:12 again states this. It says, "If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us." You see, when it comes to your role inside the kingdom, you are not simply a slave. It's not that, oh yeah, you let them into, you know, just you guys are just here to serve. You guys are just, you know, we just kind of let you in last minute. No. Because of what Jesus Christ did for you, when it comes to the kingdom, you are part of the royal family. I mean, listen to this line. This is unbelievable. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Inside this kingdom, you reign with him. That's crazy. You're not just brought in as slaves. You're not just brought in as servants. You are the children of the King. You share in Christ's inheritance. Unbelievable. I did nothing to deserve it. And yet I get to do what? I did nothing to deserve it, and yet I get to reign with him. I get to be not just part of it, but to be part of the royal family. Are you kidding me? And how you respond to this usually tells you whether or not you get it. Because if this doesn't just blow you away, if this doesn't just drive you to your knees, like, God, I can't believe what you've done for me, then you probably don't get it. Like, if I share this with you, listen, you're an heir. Like, you get to be a part of the royal family. If you're sitting there saying, you know what, it's about time. My mom always told me I was a princess. Right? If you're sitting there in any way, shape, or form feeling like you deserve what you just heard, then you don't get it. I should have went to hell. And I get what? And for some of you, you're here and you're struggling and you've given your life to Christ, but you're just struggling. And sometimes life can just beat us down and we just feel completely worthless. And some of you are here and you feel completely worthless. Let me tell you something. You are a member of the royal family. And no one can take that away from you. No one. And your confidence is not found in what the people around you think about you. Your confidence is not found in what your family is going to say about you this week. Your confidence is not found in any of those places. Your confidence is in the fact that I, no matter what happens for the next 40 years, I am a member of that family. And that's far more valuable than anything I'm going to earn here on earth. And it's going to last a heck of a lot longer. You are an heir. You're a slave to something beautiful. You are an heir. And the third thing that I want to share with you is that you will win. Now again, based on the time frame of this, this can be either flattery or this can be encouragement. A couple years ago, I sat down with someone and they were struggling through something. It was kind of a really big deal in their life and one of those struggles that sometimes can be lifelong. And we were working through how to be able to address it, how to be able to build a support system, and how to be able to address truth and lies and what that looks like, and how to be able to move forward and hopefully begin to find victory and hopefully begin to put this behind them. And I remember we were walking through this, and they were somewhat encouraged, but they weren't really encouraged, and they realized that it was going to be a long, hard fight. And at the end of the conversation, I said, listen, I just want you to know something before we go. And they said, what? I said, you're going to win. And they said, you think so? I mean, you think, like, as I put this in practice, I'm going to be able to beat this? And I was like, I don't know about that. But I do know one thing. You will win. Listen to what it says in Philippians 1, 3 through 6. It says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my prayer request for you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. See, I don't care what you're struggling with. I don't care what the battle is. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you've trusted him instead of yourself for your forgiveness and your righteousness, if you've believed him about that, you will win. And there will come a day when the battle will be over. And we don't talk about this a lot at Hoboken Grace because eternity can kind of be an interesting conversation. And sometimes Christianity is kind of seen as this escape hatch out of the world in which we live now. And so it's like, trust God, and then you get to escape all this one day. And so we don't talk about it a whole lot here at Hoboken Grace from the stage, because I want for you to understand what Jesus Christ said, that I didn't just come to give you eternal life. It wasn't just about what's going to happen in the future, but I came to give you life now, abundant and full. And I want you to understand that the truth of what God says changes our lives tomorrow, that we can experience the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness that he talks about tomorrow. We don't have to wait for eternity, and that we can begin to bring restoration to the world around us today. We don't have to wait until eternity. But throughout the New Testament, over and over and over again, one of the things that they encourage each other with is the fact that one day it's going to be over. And you're going to win. And sometimes we look at this and we say, well, that's not, I mean, okay, yeah, great, Chris, whatever, but that's not really encouraging. I still got to fight the battle here. That's because we're far too short-sighted. I mean, come on, guys. This is a tiny part of your existence. You are eternal. Your life is not 60, 70, 80 years long. Your life is eternal. This is a small part of that. And one day, this small part is going to be over. And you will win. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. You win. Not because of you, because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. It was interesting this week as I was walking my sons to the park. I was actually going over the message in my head, and I was just about at this point when I got a call that my grandfather had passed away. And today my grandfather understands just how small this part is. And he won. He won. And the same thing is going to be true for you. And some of us are in battles that we realize are going to be lifelong. As some of you are fighting addictions and depression and things that you know, man, this is probably going to be a part of my life for the rest of my life, for the rest of these few years that I have here. It won't be a part of it for the rest of your life. It will be a part of it for the next few years that you have here. I want you to know something. It will end. It will end. And he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And you will win. Today I want you to know you are a slave to something beautiful. And because of Jesus Christ, you can't even get away from it. I want you to know that in his kingdom, you are an heir. And you will reign with him forever. And you will win because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we walk through this, I just want to pray for those who are here who are struggling with those battles that they just seem like they're never going to end. I pray that you'd help us to see past today. I pray that you'd help us to be able to be eternal minded, to be able to see that, no, this is not going to last for the rest of my life. This is going to last for a few years. And then for most of my life, I will win. Father, I pray that their hope would not be found in their own strength, but that their hope would be found in your promise that you will complete what you've started. Father, I pray for those who are struggling with value. I pray for those who are going to walk into family situations where, man, they just feel completely invaluable. And I pray that their confidence will be found not in what their family thinks of them, what their friends think of them, but that their confidence will be found in the fact that they are an heir, a co-heir with Christ inside of your kingdom, and for most of their existence, they will experience that with you. And Father, I pray for those who are here who are struggling through something and they're beating themselves up because they still think that they're a slave to sin. Father, I pray that they would see that that's not who they are, that they've been made a slave to something beautiful. And I pray that these things, as we walk through the next few weeks, would just lift us up. And then as we move forward in our lives, that over and over again, we'd bring ourselves and those around us back to these truths. Not just our opinions, not just opinions spoken amongst one another, but back to your word and this truth that this is who we are because of what you've done. And that we would become people who realize what encouragement really is. And then over and over and over again, we would just lift one another up. Lift one another up. In Jesus' name, amen.